Actually, there's much more to dig out. I hope that after this conference, all the saints would enter into this word even more after you go home. Of course, in this short time, we cannot touch on all the mysteries and all the points in these verses. But this fellowship should lay a foundation, a basis, so that we would all have the possibility to dig out even more. Of course, there are many interpretations in theology about what the name Lucifer means. Even back then, in the 4th century, they translated the Latin scriptures. I'm not sure what the name of this translator is, Jerome.
J-E-R-O-M-E,
Jerome. He was assigned the task of translating the scripture into Latin, and he used this name, Lucifer, because it means, translated, carrier of light, or light bearer. Originally, Satan was a shining cherubim. And we will see that with Tyre. And the description, without a doubt, is with regard to Satan before the fall. And here we see this link, this relationship, that the king of Babylon is a picture or a type of this Lucifer. And of course, everyone knows that he is Satan. Even the word devil worshipper is, or devil worshippers are labeled Luciferian, and without shame. So the description is clearly about Satan. And we cannot read all the verses that are listed here on the outline in the meeting, but you have time, or you can take the time to read these verses. That's important. And now we've got a half hour. So this name, whether it's called a light bearer or a shining star, whatever you call it, the fact is that it is an idol that the people of Babylon, and before that the Assyrians, worshipped. This was an idol that they worshipped, a heavenly body that they worshipped. That's why it's called a shining star. And strangely, this star or this heavenly object that they worshipped, it was male at the time of the sunrise. And when the sun set, the idol became female. So don't know if it's a male or a female or half male or half female. And we also have this confusion today. That is corruption of man, of humanity. I won't say much more about this, but I really want to warn you. This trend that is risen up in our age, in this age, where in the end you don't know if someone is a man or a woman, or a man suddenly turns into a woman, and a woman suddenly becomes a man. Such confusion. And this confusion is caused by the power of darkness. And there is no hiding the fact that there is a practical, physical manifestation of Satan, which is a goat's head with horns. But the body is a human body. Can you imagine this? Have you not seen this image before? Well, if you haven't, that's fine. You're not missing anything. But you can believe me. I know of what I speak. And the upper part of the human body is female, and the bottom half is male. And is this creature, this thing, an animal or a human? And is it male or is it female? This is the confusion that the devil wants to bring among the people today. And thanks to the former president of the U.S. who legalized all of these things, can you imagine? The Supreme Court of the U.S. had to decide if restrooms could be designated male or female, or if it could use a sign that was half male and half female. Where does this thought originate? From Babylon. From Lucifer. And everyone says, oh, this is wonderful. Now we're really emancipated. We're so liberated. And now when a child is born, and this has happened in the U.S., where the mother says, no, don't write the gender on the birth certificate. I want my child to decide for themselves what they are. Is that not sick? Well, perhaps this parent should be sent to a psychiatric institution, psychiatric ward. I'm sorry to say this to you here, but you have to be aware, you have to know what kind of time we are living in today. 10 or 15 years ago, if someone had said something like this, he would have been stoned. But not anymore. Today, this person is praised. Wow, what a great liberty we have now. And if anyone says something against it, you are intolerant. You are racist. I don't know what else.
Hate speech.
You are engaging in hate speech.
It's
it is really sick. It's not just sick, but it's devilish. It actually corresponds to the essence, to the nature of this Lucifer, who wants to pervert all of humanity, to turn it upside down, create confusion. The result is that man is no longer reasonable or rational, and rather is corrupt in his thinking. And that is an expression of Lucifer. And there are many translators of the Bible who don't use this name anymore. And there's even discussion and argument about, you know, should it be this name? Why not? And so on. But we need light from the Lord. We need discernment. Oh, Lord. The Lord has to show us today what Babylon means. And who is behind this Babylon? So let us speak about Tyre. The first point that God judged or dealt with in his judgment was Babylon. And the last one in chapter 23 is Tyre. It starts with Babylon and it ends with Tyre. And in the middle, there are all these other cities that are judged like a sandwich. And if you go to McDonald's, and on top you've got Babylon, and on the bottom you've got Tyre, and then everything in between those two, you can eat that as well. Consume it. So let's stick with Tyre for now. Isaiah 23, you can read it yourself. But to speak clearly about Tyre, let's actually read. Let's read Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 28. Verse. So when God judged Tyre, suddenly he speaks of someone else. Chapter 28, Ezekiel 28. Verse 12. Son of man, take up a lamentation for the king of Tyre and say to him, thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Well, I'm sure that is not a description of the king of Tyre. No man could match this description. Have you ever met someone in Switzerland that matches this description? Have you? You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. You were in Eden, the garden of God. I don't think the king of Tyre was invited to take a walk in the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper. Doesn't that remind you of the breastplate, the ephod, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. Such beauty. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you on the day you were created. That's this archangel, Lucifer, angel of light. You were the anointed cherub who covers. Now he is a cherub or cherubim. Do you think the king of Tyre was a cherub? I don't think so. I don't believe so. I established you. Even God established him. You were on the holy mountain of God. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. That was this cherub. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created. Till iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within, and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God. And I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Your heart was lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom for the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I laid you before kings. That they might gaze at you. You defiled your sanctuaries by the multitude of your iniquities. By the iniquity of your trading, therefore I brought fire from your midst. It devoured you, and I turned you to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all who saw you. All who knew you among the peoples are astonished at you. You have become a horror and shall be no more forever. So who is this one? And the point that we need to see now is that the king of Tyre at his time was a very well-known, or that the city was a very well-known city of commerce. It was so rich, so famous. It was commercial. It was powerful, rich. It was good at business, like Baden-Württemberg, like Germany. Successful. So isn't that good and wonderful? Well, that reminds me of Tyre and also the U.S. Actually, the whole earth, the whole world. It is to be marveled at. Everyone is doing well, too well. Isn't Switzerland doing great? The whole world wants to come here to find work. Isn't that good or not? But now there is the invisible relationship. or link. Did John not say that the whole world is in the hand of the evil one? His whole influence is over the world. And that influence is this commercial world, this business, the trading. We have to see this. And I'm not saying you shouldn't do any more business. Don't go home and immediately close up shop. That's not what I mean. What I mean is that we have to be smart. We have to see through. We have to realize that there is a trap there. There is a trap. And in the end, you will end up in the hand of the evil one. No wonder John said, "Do not love the world." And if our heart is drawn in this direction and has begun to love the world, then the love of the Father is not in us anymore. John tells us this. He who loves the world, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. But maybe you still call Abba Father, Abba Father, and you call and call, but didn't the Lord say, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me? So it is dangerous. We cannot think that there is not a danger here. So, a very strong temptation that Satan gave to the Lord is this world, all the glory and beauty and the riches of this world. He said he would give it to the Lord if only he would worship the devil. What man could withstand such a temptation? If you offer me 10 euros, it's easy for me to say no. No thanks. If you offer me 10,000 euros, then I've got to think about that a little bit. What about 1 million? Then I can't sleep anymore. What about 1 billion? Oh, right away. I'll take you up on that. All the riches and the glory of this world I will give to you. And that is the price. Many today in the U.S., especially these well-known celebrities in Hollywood or these musicians, 90% of them will tell you, "I've sold my soul." Of course. If you live in such luxury, if you want to live this lifestyle, to be famous, even to be idolized, there is a price to pay. You can become famous overnight. And people will even support you in this, help you. If you say, "Oh, I want to play this character in a film," it might be difficult for me. but it might be difficult, but I will call upon a certain kind of spirit to come upon me, and then suddenly I'm able to act this character. And these celebrities today are not even ashamed to say, yeah, I've sold my soul. They're not embarrassed to say it.
Who is entertaining us?
So who is entertaining us today?
What is entertainment?
The entertainment industry. Who is the big boss of this industry? It's this fallen cherub. He is a gifted tradesman, a gifted CEO of the entertainment industry. But you have to bow down before him and sell your soul. Then you are capable of everything. Then you can do it. But in the end, you will see the devil himself. You are capable of anything. You can do anything. That is this Tyre, the king of Tyre. So we have to be smart. These two points, the religion on the one hand, and this commercial world on the other. It is not easy. If you take away these two aspects, these two things, and we will probably have more peace. And so, God in particular, exposed Satan in this way in these two cities, in Babylon and in Tyre. So it's not without reason, that he highlights these two cities. And so today we see the power of religion, especially for believers. Oh, you love God? You believe in Jesus Christ? Satan has a package ready for you. It's called Babylon. Or if you love the world and you want money, oh, I'll play basketball and get $10 million a year. That's not bad. Oh, why do you have to study so much at university? Just go play basketball. And have fun while you're doing it. And we'll earn millions of dollars. And you even become famous. So there's a lot of industry built around this. All kinds of things are on offer. Not bad at all. But you must sell your soul. Everything corrupts you. And so here we have to see. We have to see this. The king of Tyre. This is point 1b on the outline. Another figure of Satan as the ruler of this world. And then we have all these verses listed here, which I encourage you to read on your own. And this applies to all of us. I'm not saying we shouldn't work, earn a living, and live in a normal way. That's normal, and we should do it. But we must be smart. And our God and Father will supply us. He will take care of us. That's why the Father said in Matthew 5, do not worry, because God will take care of you. That doesn't mean I just sit at home and do nothing and let myself be fed, and then I just come to the meeting and eat and drink, and you have a love feast. Okay, fine, I'll come and I'll also eat. That's why Paul said, if you do not work, then you should do what? Does he say you should come and eat a lot? He should not eat. So don't think you can just eat for free. There's no such thing as a free lunch. The scripture says there is no such thing. It's not. That doesn't work. So who's right? And I don't mean that we should be selfish or stingy. But there are unruly people. They're unruly. It's like people who are lawless. They have no shame. They have no shame. People who have no shame. I have to stay longer in Germany, then the words will come back to me. Yeah, we don't need that kind of behavior in the church, in the house of the Lord, for the sake of his testimony. But on the other hand, our heart must be preserved not to love the world. And if you have, then you should really help those who are needy. Paul said this very clearly.
Amen.
So Tyre portrays the commercial world. It's dangerous. Today, we work and work from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., and in the end, you have no time left. And without your realizing it, your strength, your strength for the Lord decreases.
Okay.
So we have a little bit more time left. Then we come to a mystery next, a great mystery. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. Why is it called a mystery? Because sometimes it's so complicated. And you know, people really fall for it. They fall into this trap. And in Jeremiah 50:21, Babylon has another name, a secret name, which is Meratayim. It's kind of a strange name, right? If you say this name, then people will start to research. What does this name mean? They'll start to research the name. Well, who knows? But God showed us this name. Yeah, why should I not know it? And if you say, just knowing the name doesn't help us. Do you mean to say, poor God, he gave us something that won't even help us? Well, just because it doesn't help You doesn't mean it doesn't help us. Doesn't it help us very much? So, Meratayim means a double rebellion. Well, a single rebellion is already bad. A double rebellion is even worse. So we have to see that this is another name for Babylon. It's more that it's to this name to show what the way of the devil is. This is a visible power on earth, and invisible principalities and powers in the heavenly places. And the Lord also said this, that I will not just judge the powers in the heavenly places, but I will also judge the kings of this earth. That means that there is always a twofold judgment. They are tied together like this harlot. This harlot is not walking around in the Vatican, but she's sitting on the beast. And sometimes you cannot tell if this harlot if the harlot is steering this beast, or if it's the other way around, the beast is really steering the harlot, this mother that is carrying her. Who is using whom? I don't know. It means they are inextricable, they are linked. And this beast that is described in Revelation 17 is not an ordinary beast, but it has 7 heads and 10 horns. And it's a particularly dangerous monstrosity or a monster. It's not an ordinary beast. And in fact, it's a conglomeration of all these terrible beasts that were described in Revelation 13. So all these aspects of all these terrible beasts combine together. So let us read briefly. I'll read it to you. It is good to have a little bit of knowledge, although some people would have you believe that we don't need it. But secretly they are listening in. Then I stood on the sand. I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Revelation 13, verse 1. And on his horns, 10 crowns. And on his heads, a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. My goodness, what kind of a beast was this? It is a conglomeration of all these main animals or beasts. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. Can you imagine? And this harlot is sitting upon this beast. So who is mightier, the beast or the woman? Hard to say.
Here we see this
But here we see that this female has already become different from Babylon, because now it's a universal, strong harlot. And this beast is not only a single kind of beast. You know, in Daniel, each kingdom corresponds with an animal. So the Persians are a bear, and the Greeks are like a leopard. And Babylon corresponds to a lion with wings. And the Roman Empire, Daniel cannot even describe because it's so ugly. I don't know what it was, but he could not even describe it. And the beast that we see in Revelation 17 is a conglomeration of all of these beasts. Can you imagine? Would you want to encounter such a beast? Well, good luck to you if you do. That is not good. So here we see this combination. The heavenly powers and the powers on the earth. So today we have to be smart. Don't trust everything you see and don't believe everything you hear. There is always something that is crooked somewhere. It's not quite right. And outwardly, it looks nice, even as it was described, as the brother shared earlier. Outwardly, it's gold, silver, precious stones. It's covered in gold. And there's even a golden cup. But that is deceit. Because inwardly, you don't know what is happening behind the scenes. It's not just corruption. If it were just corruption, that would not be quite as bad. But even deeper down, the enemy, the invisible enemy, wants to attain something with the heavenly powers and principalities, and he is preparing everything for the appearing of this beast. Today, if you look around, well, everything is very nice, isn't it? Wonderful, excellent. But if we receive this light inwardly, you will see, oh Lord, today it is just like Sodom and Gomorrah. And it is very dark, perverted. So here we see a visible power on earth as well as invisible principalities and powers in the heavenly places. And outline 1C, 1B refers to the religious world and the commercial world. That says it all. Because today, money makes the world go round. It's all about money. If you don't have money, and where there is no money, there is no power. Everything depends on the euro. Everything depends on business. Can you imagine if the economy suddenly were to collapse? Then everything would collapse. And this will happen. And in the end, everything will become worthless.
So here,
So here we see that the final judgment on Babylon will be with double measure. God will judge it severely.
So,
and point three, the final call to God's people to come out of her. Come out of her. Don't just come out of denomination, which is still relatively harmless, but we have to understand and lay hold of what Babylon is in a deeper way. Don't just think the Babylon is the Vatican. That's a visible manifestation, but there is something deeper at play to capture God's people all the way from Roman Catholicism, the religious aspect, all the way to the smallest daughter today that is still being born, even more daughters of this mother that are being born. You may not even know the most recent one. So may the Lord open our eyes. Come out. Come out of her. And then the question is, where to? Where to? Where will you go? We follow the Lamb. And he leads us to Zion. And so in Revelation 17, we see, in Revelation 14, they followed the Lamb wherever he goes. And where is the Lamb going? To the heavenly Mount Zion. And in the end, we will stand with him on Mount Zion before the throne. So it's not enough just to come out. But we have to know where we are going. If I come to Germany, but I don't know where I'm going, then I'll just land wherever, anywhere, just some place that I'm not even supposed to be. That's not nice. So if I come out of somewhere, then I have to know, I must know where I'm going to. You think the Lord would call you out of Babylon and not show you where you should go? And that you still have to choose and you have to seek? The Lord brought his people out of Egypt. You think he didn't know where he wanted to lead them to? No, the Lord has a clear goal. And he even had a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire. A pillar of clouds during the day and a pillar of fire at night. That at all times his people would know which way to go. But the people don't want this. They don't want to go this way. Coming out is one thing. But it's even more important to know where to go. Otherwise, the German saying is you jump out of the pot and you land in the fire. So you go from bad to worse. So we don't have to just come out, but we also have to be clear about where we are going and what our goal is. And the goal is 100% Zion. Revelation 14 tells us this. I think we'll stop here. And bon appetit. Enjoy dinner again. Praise the Lord. Let's have some prayers. Short prayers.